This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Stephen A. from Hollis, Queens, and the Michael K. Show starts now. Holla at your boy, Michael, Don Juan, and Peter.
Thank you, Stephen A., and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday, March 10th, 2022. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, your responsibility. And when it comes to the Knicks and it comes to the Major League Baseball negotiations, I think it's best for Al Pacino to put it in a way that only he can. Here's Al.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Baseball, the negotiations. You think, well, this is going to be a while. Then you get reports that it's going to happen. The deadline is 3 o'clock, by the way, so we're 1 minute past the deadline. And the players are voting on it right now, and it looked like it was going to pass. Now, John Heyman is saying that the executive committee, which is 8 players, they are going to vote against it. That doesn't mean that it won't pass. That means that they're recommending not to vote for it. Now, that would also seem to indicate that Scott Boras has a hell of a lot of influence because 5 of the 8 guys on the committee are represented by Scott Boras. I think we all knew that anyway.
Yep.
And obviously, Scott doesn't like it. They got past the international draft part and draft pick compensation. And we're not going to get deep into the weeds with everything because I think it just blurs everybody and they don't know exactly what's going on. But here's where we stand right now. The players are voting. According to John Heyman, a couple of agents have told him it's not a slam dunk. They vote yes. They think the CBT is still a little bit low. And, you know, we said this toward the end of the show. I think they're being greedy now. I really do. Because the CBT has gone up. And for those that are going to pass it like Steve Cohen, you know what? It's not going to matter what the CBT is. It's just not. And other reports are out there that the Mets as a team don't look as if they want to ratify this because they think that it would affect their owner who has deep pockets from going past it. And remember, a member of their team is Max Scherzer, who's been very vocal against it. So that's right. Where we stand right now as we wait. It looked like it was going to pass. Now, not so certain. I had gotten information about an hour and a half ago that it looked like it was going to pass. People were preparing to head down to spring training. But who knows what gets the players' panties in a bunch. Maybe they vote against it, but it looks like this could be the last best chance. If, in fact, it is passed, then free agency will begin as soon as tonight, and it's going to be like no baseball fan has ever seen. It'll be a frenzy like you will not believe, but, Don, it's got to be passed.
Well, it's got to be passed, and I'm right now to a point where, all right, just get a deal done. All right, I gave you my opinion on how I was siding with the players. We've kind of gone back and forth on who's right, who's wrong, what's best for the game. I'm at the stage right now, get the deal done. Honestly, get it done. What are you fighting over, all right? This is not salary cap, no salary cap, okay? This isn't talking about huge percentages of the pie. They're close. And it would really tick me off, Michael, if we end up missing games, because I don't know whether if they could ratify this, you know, today, whether they can squeeze in 162 games. I don't know what the owners will plan on doing or what agreement's going to come. But it's really frustrating to see we're going through this, and it may not be for all that much.
Right.
And again, we've been down this road before. Is the rug going to get pulled out from underneath us again? Are the players going to say no? Are we going to have this conversation on Friday, then back on Monday? When are they going to get this deal done? Just get it done. I want to see some baseball. We're 3 weeks away from what was supposed to be opening day. That's obviously not going to happen. But tell me there's going to be baseball. That's what I want to hear. Tired of the competitive balance tax and international draft. It's like I've been saying for the last couple of days. It's gobbledygook to me. Get a deal done.
It really is.
Now, what's going to happen, if the deal is ratified right now, there will be a 162-game season. They will get in the 6 games that are already canceled. And last night, the games that were canceled are going to be uncanceled.
Right.
And opening day, I believe, would be April 7th.
Which just shows you, too, Michael, what garbage it all is. Oh, we're canceling games. You're not really canceling games.
It's such a good point.
It's all just a way of trying to make the other side look bad, you know, create some false urgency of getting a deal done. I'm sure the players didn't buy that. You heard players even complain, we could play 162 games. We can get it done. So all the, oh, my God, we're not going to have we're not going to have 162 games. They'll figure out a way to get 162. And it's all just a big tease. But right now, I hope that's all it turns out to be, because we still don't have a deal at 3:05.
And the deadline is at 3. And I will say one thing to the owners. Maybe they're being flexible on this, but to continue to set deadlines, drop dead deadlines, and then say, oh, never mind, your deadlines don't mean anything. There's no urgency for the players if you keep going back on your deadlines. Well,
and is this a sense of urgency to try to get it done, Michael, or was it all just a ploy to make the players look bad? Like, oh, look, we're canceling games. They're not getting it done. We keep making offers. They keep declining them. We're shaving games off the schedule. Like, so did they really think these games are going to get canceled, Michael, or was it just all a ploy to make the players look bad, like they didn't want to get a deal done?
I don't know what it is. I don't understand why they care about public perception anyway.
Right.
For most of the time, the public perception and their allegiance was at the players. I think they're losing that. Whether or not that was a game plan by the owners, now it looks like the players have gotten so much of what they asked for. Now the CBT's not high enough. Yeah, the fact that there is a CBT, that you're the ones who agreed to it, and now you're trying to make it go away? You agreed to it. 10 years ago, you agreed to it. It can't go away now. You let the door open and the cow came through, and now you want the cow to go out? No, that's not going to work. So the fact that they went up as far as they did, that should be enough. Raise it the next time in 5 years. Raise it more.
My whole problem, again, with the owners trying to make the players look bad. Listen, the players want to make the owners look bad, but that does less damage. Fans don't care about owners. They don't know who owns what. They go and they buy tickets, they buy jerseys, they buy all the packages because they want to see the players play. So I'd ask the owners, trying to win the court of public opinion, aren't you really damaging the game? Because what you're trying to sell are your players. And to get the fans to hate on the players, that's going to be bad for the game. Because there might be fans who say, I'm not going back. I'm not renewing my season tickets. I'm not going to buy Apple TV to watch those games. So I'd ask the owners, all right, yay, you won the court of public opinion. Over the last 48 hours, things have swung on your side. Did it help the game at all? Did it help the game? That the damage you did to your players are going to do a lot more damage to the game because if the fans hate the players and blame the players, how does that manifest itself? It manifests itself by people maybe staying home and not caring about the game as much. Is that good for the owners?
Now, the latest MLB proposal, we're not going to get too deep into the proposals, but here's the deal. The thresholds are $230 to $244 over the course of the five-year deal. That's an increase of $2 million in the final year from their last offer. Pre-arbitration pool, $50 million. That's an increase of $10 million. So the owners did come up. Minimum salaries now go from $700,000 to $780,000 in the last year, an increase of $10,000 in the final year. So the players have gotten a lot of what they wanted. Did they get everything that they wanted? Absolutely not. But as I keep saying over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, if they're looking to get everything back, then there will not be baseball this year. They just won't. They're not going to get everything back. You can't make it all back in one negotiation. You had two really bad CBAs for you that you signed, and now you're going to try to get it all back? Can't happen. Not going to happen. The owners won't let it happen. So do you want to play baseball or not? And now the executive committee is voting not to ratify it. That's at least 5 of 8 of those guys are controlled by Scott Boras. And the one that's really been a fly in the ointment has been Max Scherzer. He's a veteran. He's sacrificing a lot of money. He has every right to make his opinions known. But, you know, he's got his money at $43 million a year. There are guys, 300 people that don't have a job right now. And when free agency opens, it's going to be a frenzy. It really is. They need to sign a contract. They need to have money. So I don't understand if this doesn't pass. You know, I tweeted out like 20 minutes ago, I think this time it is going to happen. I'm sorry if it doesn't happen. I still think it will. But, you know, if you want to play 162, it better happen today. Because if it doesn't, then all of a sudden Jackie Robinson Day is going to be out there as something that's going to be sacrificed. Baseball's going to look awful for that. And if you really truly believe that the owners are going to pay back pay if games are not played, you're crazy. And that's going to add another layer to the the hatred between the two sides. And I've said this before, too. Here's my biggest concern with this whole deal. I hope that both sides are satisfied so that they can unify and work together and grow the game. Because if one side feels like they got their butt kicked, then it's going to be total situation where they're not going to help out the game.
See, thank you, because how frustrating would it be, Michael, is that this is something we go through every 5 years? They get a 5 year. I don't know how long the CBA will end up being. I'm assuming it would be 5 years. So 5 years from now, what, we're going to have to go through this again? And the sniping, the back and forth, possibly missing games. Hopefully we get something that we've actually had over the last 20-plus years, and that is labor peace. And just get back to baseball. And also, by the way, guys, get back to fixing the game. Because you still got issues. You still got problems you've got to figure out. But let's do it on the field and not in a boardroom.
All right, before we, we'll wait on final word if this is done or not done. We'll be all over it. We've got all of our ESPN resources. This is the place to be to find out what's going on. Now, what we want to do also, and this also applies to the Al Pacino cut, it's the 98.7 ESPN Hoops Update brought to you by London Jewelers. Join London Jewelers for their annual wedding band event March 24th through March 27th. Enjoy 20% off all wedding bands, Peter. For locations and to make an appointment, visit 2bylondon.com. So if you're in the market for a wedding band at any point, Peter, soon, I'm going to set you up at London Jewelers.
Aww. I appreciate that. I would first need to get in the engagement ring business before
that's
the
true.
Band.
Well, you know, that's where you go to. Anyway, the Knicks won against the Mavericks, a red-hot team. By 30 points yesterday, they blew them out. They've now won three in a row.
Bing bong!
So as Al said in Godfather 3, just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. Well, now, I'm not going to say that this is likely, but the 10th spot, the play-in spot, is held by the Atlanta Hawks. The Knicks are 3.5 games behind them with 16 games left to play. Now, they do also have to jump over the Wizards. 13.5 games back. So they're 2 games back of the Wizards. They're 3.5 games back of the Hawks. But, Peter, I know that you're intrigued by it, but what happened to this team? How did they suddenly find it? Because they should have won every game on this road trip. They should have beaten Phoenix.
That's the part that I found so frustrating last night. You're watching and you're going, you know, with 5 minutes left in the game, Dallas had like 71 points. And they finished with 77 points. So you're seeing a team doing what they were advertised to do, which is play defense. And you just wonder, why was this not who they were? Randall was great again. 8 of 19, he's really sort of come on recently. RJ Barrett, 7 of 16 for 18 points. I mean, I know. It's they really are trying to pull you back in.
Well,
3 straight wins, let's be honest. You look up at 3 straight wins. You start to look up.
You look up, but let's not forget something that's very important. They went on this road trip, which started in Philadelphia, and they lost to Philly. And then had that heartbreaking loss to Phoenix. With their season over. And with less people paying attention because it was over. And so always be careful when the pressure's off, guys, and the expectations are low to almost nothing. All of a sudden, the team picks it up. All right, now people might start paying attention. Now what are you going to do? You got Memphis coming up. What are you going to do? Because now people might actually start paying attention. Michael said, you're only 3.5 back now. So now when people begin to wake up and the pressure gets amped up and the heat get amped up, are they going to continue or are they going to shrivel like they did earlier in the season when the expectations were high?
The thing that I would counsel against is to poo-poo these 3 straight victories. Every single one of the victories were against teams that were playing for something. Sacramento's trying to scratch and claw into the play-in. So they were not playing for nothing. The Clippers are trying to move up in the playoff order. And then, obviously, Dallas is a really, really good team. They're 40-26. And to go into Dallas and just beat them up, I'm telling you, it's an amazing situation. It really is. And I give them a lot of credit. And one other thing I would remind everybody, last year the Knicks became really good at the end. So maybe they're finding something now. Maybe the teachings of Thibodeau are finally hitting home, and they're listening. I'm not quite sure. But this is a different team. When Charlie went to bed last night, he said, "You think the Knicks have a chance against Dallas?" I said, "None, zero chance." So then he thought I was an idiot today when I said that they won by 30. He said, "I thought you said they had no chance. I thought they didn't have a chance."
But again, you don't get credit for trying here. What's it going to mean? All right, tomorrow at Memphis, then Sunday at Brooklyn.
No, no, at the Garden against Brooklyn.
I'm sorry. No.
No,
no, no, it's at Brooklyn. Brooklyn.
It's Brooklyn. Oh, I'm sorry.
Either way, Kyrie doesn't play. But the point is that, all right, let's see. Those are two tough games. Listen, they could be a good team and lose both of those. And you're now in that stratosphere, Michael, where if you lose a couple of games and then now you're 4 or 5 back, now you come home, winnable games at home against Portland, home against Washington, and then you close out the home stand versus Utah and Atlanta. So
the Atlanta game is huge.
Yeah, that's a huge game, but you still – then you go back on the road for Charlotte, Miami, and Detroit. You could take two of those three. Then home against the Bulls, that's tough. But then Hornets, Cleveland, Orlando, there's two wins right there. So it looks somewhat doable to kind of maintain. But you can't afford to take the huge step back of losing the next two. I think they've got to get one of the next two.
I agree, Don. If we want to do this, pay attention, hope for a miracle, I agree. You can't follow up this big three-game win streak by dropping both of these.
And you count us back to square one.
It's amazing. Now, do I think they're going to make the playoffs or the play-in? No, I don't. I don't. I don't think they'll do it. I think they've dug themselves too big of a hole. But if they go off on a toot now and they don't lose and they continue to win, then it's a different conversation. I don't see that with this team. But Randall's playing better. R.J. Barrett is playing amazing. Quickly has found his stroke as a shooter. It's a fun team to watch. So I'm just stunned.
Well, and what you don't want to have happen, Michael, because the negative of winning, if there is a negative, let's say they go on a toot here and they just miss the playoffs. Could they get fooled into thinking that what they were in the last month of the season is what they really are and not make the necessary changes and get fooled into thinking, oh, it was just an aberration in the beginning, how we closed is who we really are? Because you still want to make changes.
I hope they're smarter than that.
Well, you hope, but if you go on a run here, everybody remembers what you did at the end. Remember the reverse with the Arizona Cardinals. Nobody remembers the fact that the Cardinals were 10-2. They only think about the fact that how they closed out the season. And then the feeling was awful. And then you have other teams that have a great last month of the season, make you forget how brutal they were when everything really counted. So I'm with you, Michael. Let's see this through. It's fun when the Knicks are good and when the games have meaning. I just hope they don't get fooled into thinking that they can come back as presently constituted and be what they were last year.
Now, John Heyman is reporting more news on the Major League Baseball negotiations. He said team votes are coming on now, delivered by the player reps, and so far they are in favor of ratifying. So far, the players are going against the executive council. So that's where we stand right now. All 30 teams have to be counted. All the votes have to be counted. So it could be a little bit of a wait, but I would think that we're going to have an answer at some point during our show. So keep it right here. As soon as we find out, we will pass it along to you. Now, tonight, I'm going to go right to Game Time. Game Time brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. We got the Rangers against the Blues in St. Louis. That's an 8 p.m. start on ESPN+, but you could hear it right here on 98.7. So the pregame show's at 7:30. Don's doing the play-by-play at 8 o'clock, so he's fully back and back in the saddle.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully everything goes well.
Winnipeg against the Devils at 7 p.m. That's on ESPN+. And then in basketball, we've got a beauty. I think there's going to be a lot of drama.
Yeah.
This one is on TNT. Unfortunately, yes,
on
doesn't
TV.
Have it.
On
it's TV. On TV at 7:30. It's Brooklyn at Philly. Now, Simmons is not going to play, but he is going to be there. And it is going to be ugly, I think. Andrew was telling me today, I was talking to him on the phone, that there's video of the Nets leaving the Four Seasons where they stay in Philly. And there are people outside booing Ben Simmons, really booing him as he got off the bus. So it's interesting. Some people were saying to me yesterday, why would they do this? Why would they have him be there? He's got to find out soon enough, because Kyrie Irving is going to be booed every single time he plays in Boston for the rest of his career. And so is Ben Simmons. So isn't it better, Peter, to have him booed now when he's not even playing, just to get a feel of what life is going to be like moving forward, rather than protect him? And the first time he actually hears these boos and this kind of hatred is going to be when he's actually playing. This is actually a nice, easy entry, I believe.
I agree. And also, show us a little something. You know, in this case, all he literally has to do is show up. And it shows you more than him not being there at all. I really think it would have looked bad optically for him to just not be there. And this at least makes you think, okay, he's not ready yet. He's not forcing it for this game, but he's at least not scared to be there. And I agree with you. Get it done.
All right.
Feel this out, because we're going to have a whole playoff series.
All right, Jeff Passan is reporting Major League Baseball and the Players Association have reached a tentative agreement on a new labor deal, sources tell ESPN. While it still needs to be ratified by both parties, that is expected to be a formality. And when it is, baseball is back.
Our great tragedy is over. Do you believe in miracles?
Yes.
Yes. Well, you need Ken Dryden to step on that, too.
And Michael, how are they going to make up for the games that they said were lost?
One series is going to be played at the end of the year, a 1-3 game set, and the other series are going to be made up as doubleheaders. Now, in terms of the Yankees, the Mets, the two series that were canceled were in the division, so they're going to see them a lot. You could do that. The Yankees will not see Houston or the Texas Rangers in those ballparks, so I don't know if there's going to be any kind of a situation where they could play doubleheaders. And by the way, the doubleheaders that make up these lost games will be 9-inning doubleheaders, not 7. So I don't know if they'll have doubleheaders where the Rangers would be the home team. I'm not quite sure. But the only way you're going to make doubleheaders up in those games, because they're not divisional games, would be at Yankee Stadium. That's bookkeeping. That's bookkeeping. But it looks like baseball's back, everybody. Baseball is back.
And I guess it's pretty significant considering the Yankees have had meaningful games right down to the nub. Is it possible that they'll close out the season against the Astros?
Yes. That's the way it looks. So the way I've understood it is that the second series would be made up at the end. That would be the Astros. The first series is 4 games. So I don't know how they would make up 4 games against the Texas Rangers. I'm trying to find when Texas comes in. Texas comes in Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in May. Now, there's an off day that Thursday. There's an off day that Monday, so maybe they could do it that way. But they got to make up 4 games. So the Yankees have the most difficult sledding ahead, more so than the Mets, because the Mets 2 games, I believe, what was it? The Nationals. And who was the other team?
I just remember opening day was against the Nationals, but they were both divisional opponents.
They're both divisional opponents, so those are easy to make up because the Mets will visit those cities, or those cities will visit the Mets 2 other times each. But the Yankees do not visit Texas after that opening series. So it'll be interesting to see how they make it up. So opening day now, as far as I could tell, will be Boston, Yankees-Boston on April 7th. Yankees-Boston on April 7th. And most importantly, Peter, because I know you're worried about this, the first K-Rod will go off as scheduled on Sunday, April 10th.
That's what we care about. Now you're talking our language.
Yeah.
Wow, the first Sunday of the year. There we go.
I can't tell you guys enough what tonight is going to be like. So if you're a real baseball fan, time for the close to come off, because there's going to be trades. There's going to be free agent signings at a frenzy that has never, ever been seen when it comes to baseball. It's going to be like when the NBA free agency happens and it all happens within like minutes. It's going to be like the NFL when it all happens within minutes or you know, a day or so. That's what this is going to be like. Teams are not set, man.
Right.
As I've said this over and over, this Yankee team would not be the favorite to win the East the way it's presently constructed. They don't even have a shortstop. So things are going to have to be done. And it's going to have to be done in a hurry. So
there you go. The exact window?
The exact window of what?
Of when these transactions can happen?
It could start tonight. So we're going to have just an unbelievable show tomorrow. Now, we're going to be very fluid with the show. We were going to have Anthony Gargano on to talk about the Sixers and how the fans are going to react to Ben Simmons, and he was going to be next. He's a big talk show host, morning show host at WIP in Philly. But we're going
to
have
that.
To scratch him, obviously, because this is a big deal. Baseball is back. We'll break it down, what it means moving forward. So that's coming up in just a moment. Stay right here, everybody. It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you. Baseball is back right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's something that really makes me nervous, okay, other than death. John Heyman just tweeted, Union Executive Board vote was 8-0 against the MLB proposal, but teams voted 26-4 in favor of it carrying the day. Unusual that the general player population goes so far against player leadership. I don't want these guys to be ticked off.
Well, they will be.
But they're going to bring the wrong, they're going to bring the wrong energy into it. You've got to grow the sport. You've got to. Well, you can't be ticked off at the owners now.
Well, what'll be interesting, Michael, is does Tony Clark survive this? Because when the NHL players didn't, you know, they got buried in that lockout, you know, they fired Goodnow. They fired their guy and they brought in Donald Fehr. So I would think if they're upset, Michael, you don't want them to be upset to where they're not going to want to get their pound of flesh in 5 years. But will they let Tony Clark go?
Well, I don't know how much Tony Clark is to blame. Bruce Meier was running point on this. You know, they brought Bruce Meier in, who supposedly has a connection to Scott Boras, and Bruce Meier is a labor negotiator. Well, so I don't know how much that Tony had to do with this.
Well, somebody's going to probably have to lose their job over it if you're that divided.
Some people are asking me about rules, okay?
Yes, we need to know this.
So, nine-inning doubleheaders are back. There's no more seven-inning doubleheaders.
Good.
Yay!
There is no more ghost runner at second. Regular activities return.
Thank God.
So, man on second is a thing of the past.
By the way, one day, Don, we'll look back and go, can you believe they ever did this?
Oh, what a black mark. It's just awful. I understand, I guess, but I really don't, if that makes sense.
Yes.
The pitch clock. The bases, they don't take effect until 2023, as far as I know. So no pitch clock, no shift outlawing, anything like that. As far as I know, those take place next year.
Okay. And just a wacky question, Michael. Our clubhouse is open to the media.
That I have not heard. It's a good question. Don't know. I mean, it's not like COVID has disappeared.
No, but will it ever? You know, so if your answer is, well, COVID's here, we're not going to open up the clubhouse, are you saying we're never going to open the clubhouse?
I wouldn't doubt it. Now, I've got a little game to play with you.
Yes.
Got a little game to play.
Yes.
I want you to take part in this too, Petey.
Okay.
All right, so the teams voted 26-4 in favor. Four teams said no. Who are those four teams?
Four teams said no.
Not on the owner's side, the player side.
Four teams voted no.
Right.
The Diamondbacks.
No.
I'll throw this out there to the Mets.
Mets are one.
Mm-hmm.
Across the river is another. Yankees are another. The Astros are the third, and the Cardinals are the fourth.
Interesting.
So explain that, please.
Well, three of these teams are big market teams. The Mets, the Yankees, and the Astros. And so their players are probably thinking, our owners have the money to spend. We don't want them handcuffed by a tax that we don't think is high enough. That's probably why they voted. Now, Max Scherzer is on the Mets now.
Right.
And he was a big proponent of what they wanted to get what they wanted. Gerrit Cole, he's on the Yankees. And he was on the executive committee. I'm not sure who from Houston, if they were on the executive committee, and not sure about St. Louis. But I think that – and St. Louis has money, too. You can look at St. Louis and say it's a small market. That team prints money. I mean, with that little village they have behind the stadium, they own that, too. So they print money. So we shall see. But those are the four teams that voted against it. The 26 others voted for it. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mike in Mineola. Mike. Mikey.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Listen, Mike, I think baseball really, from a fan's perspective, should be punished. And I'm calling for all fans to boycott any sponsors of baseball. Because if you hurt baseball in their wallet, they're going to stop
listening. But what did baseball do? What did baseball do to make you say that? What did they do? They missed a week of games. That's what they've done.
Okay, but these are billionaires. I live from hand to mouth, okay? Week to week paycheck. And these guys are fighting over billions, and it makes me want to throw up.
So, but just because they're billionaires and millionaires, they're still going to fight to how to split the money up. And I understand there are people that can't grasp that because, you know, as you said, hand to mouth, and it's tough to live, and price of gas and inflation was 7.9%. I get all of that. But you're going to boycott sponsors? That's ridiculous to me. What have they done to you? You know, the first week of the season, was postponed. It wasn't even canceled. They're playing 162 games. So you're going to hold that against them? I'm sorry. You have a bad view of things, in my opinion.
I also love the whole recruitment aspect of it, right? Listen, if you're mad, then go boycott. Don't go. Don't involve yourself with the sponsors. If Budweiser's your sponsor, don't drink Budweiser. You do it. You know, if you want to have a rising up, do you really think it's going to work, Peter?
He's calling for a boycott. Listen, I understand. I totally see why it's frustrating that rich people are fighting. But, I mean, so real quick. You believe that the players, if they feel things are unfair, they're not getting their proper piece of the pie, they should just say, well, why do I even worry about it? I'm just getting enough.
But if you
take that to a regular person's life, Don, and you get a good job working at any regular 9-to-5, and let's say you've only made $25,000 a year your whole life, and then you get a new job, and they're offering you $50,000 a year, you're now making double than you made your whole life. And now you can pay your bills, you're comfortable, you're good. And after 3 months, you realize that the guy who hired you is making $900,000 a year, and you're making $50,000. Should someone say to you, shut up, you're making more than you made before, just be happy? No, you're going to think, I'm not getting a fair, commensurate piece of the pie.
And it makes me laugh when you say, oh, these are billionaires fighting. Well, yeah. So what are they? Yeah. They don't care about their money? The millionaires don't care about their money? That's what this is all about. But how to split the money. That's business. I'm sorry you feel like that.
All right, listen, I know there are people that are mad at baseball. They were mad at baseball before the lockout. Then quit. Don't watch. But the point is, let's take a look at the real world here, all right? I think we're better off that we went through it. April 7th is a better opening day than March 31st. Weather might have a chance to be a little bit warmer. We went from, and no offense, Michael, what would be kind of like a nondescript Yankees-Rangers in Texas opening day, now it's Yankees-Red Sox opening day.
Yep.
I mean, so why can't we just – all right, listen, they led you by your nose. If you're a diehard baseball fan, it's been an up and down last few days. But at the end of the day, you get the season to start later. You get a better matchup for Yankees and Red Sox on opening day. You're going to have a frenzy of free agency, which is only going to help the sport over the next 48 hours. And you're going to get your full 162 games. So what exactly are you angry about?
Now, I'm going to tell you this, everybody. ENN is always a must listen.
Always.
Now it becomes more so.
Interesting.
According to Andy Martino of SNY, the owner's call to ratify the CBA, which, I mean, it's essentially going to be rubber stamped, is scheduled for 6 p.m. Free agency will begin immediately after that. Peter's going to have fast and furious signings on ENN.
I don't think it won't happen, because I'm sure they were talking during this whole thing. Because July 1st, free agency for the NBA and the NHL, you're not allowed to talk to anybody unless it's your own player. And then 5 minutes after midnight on July 1st, guys are signing contracts that are where they're going to spend the next, like, 15 years of their life. So you know deals are being made behind the scenes.
Also, we'll be covering that as well at 7 o'clock on, yes, on the Hot Stove Show. Lorenz, Cohn, Curry, Marakovic, and me. So right after this show, boom, on TV, that.
TV.
Are you going business casual, Michael, or are you going to make a wardrobe change? Ray Rowe.
I think that a nice sport coat and a turtleneck is going to work for
okay.
the hot stove.
Okay, no, I like it.
Because if you're sitting around the hot stove, you're really wearing a tie.
It's a great point by you. Absolutely.
I'm not sure you're wearing a turtleneck either.
Oh, hot stove, it screams turtleneck. Cold day, you're on the stove, you're putting a couple of logs on the fire. You need a turtleneck.
I love what you're wearing. I think it represents you, the company, and the subject well.
Really?
Yeah.
Watch, I'm going to get a call from some bigwig now, so you better put it on a tie.
Well, you know what? That bigwig would be wrong.
Interesting. Wow. I'm amazed. You know, we have all these calls lined up, right? And a lot of them are, they're really ticked off at baseball. For what? For losing a week?
For actually
battling over money, which the whole world does, but in this case, it's in Macy's window for you to see. Everybody does this. Every business does this.
Now, but again, I'm not going to argue with people to feel the way they're going to feel. I'll argue with them about trying to recruit. But if you want out, get out. Because I do think, and this is what's scary for baseball long term, I think there are a lot of people that want out. And they're just looking for an excuse to get out. And that's what you don't want because, again, baseball was hurting before this lockout started. But if you want out, go. But don't feel like you got to, that you've got to be the Pied Piper there and get a million people to follow you, because if you're hoping to do that, it's not going to work.
Hey, Don, stop. We're in the cancel culture world. You can't just do things alone. You want to just kill something. You want everybody recruited. It's the way we work.
Well, all I'll say is that if you're not willing to do something on your own, you don't have the confidence to go to work.
Well, hold on. This isn't fair. The problem is that what he was suggesting was stupid.
Right.
It's not that he was trying to recruit people, because, in fact, that is true. If he really believed there was a boycott worth doing, no, the point is you boycott and you hope to spread the word and get other people to boycott. But if what you're boycotting is moronic, well, then it just is moronic.
Interesting.
Am I wrong?
No.
Because you wouldn't have made fun of the guy if he called up and said it was a valuable cause. It was for the Ukrainian people right now, so I'm going to boycott X brand that's funneling money to Russia. You probably go, oh, okay, that makes sense that he want to get people on board with that. But this made no sense.
But those are right and wrong issues, black and white issues. This is just subjective.
Right. This is just like what you feel.
I just get word from Meredith Marakovich. She is going to be in beach attire for the show.
Wow. Well, yeah. Well, I'm in. I'm watching now.
You're going to watch. Okay.
I'm in. Thanks, okay. Meredith.
And also Ryan Hurley, our PD, said this is a perfect outfit for you, Mike. It's an homage to George Steinbrenner, a sport coat and a turtleneck.
There you go.
That is beautiful. Now, you get me Ryan Hurley in beach attire on the program.
Hey,
I'm
listen.
Really in.
He is shredded weight.
I will tell you, he is.
But is he shredded? That's the key, because he could have saggy
skin. Right. I guess I misspoke. He shedded weight.
Oh, okay.
And now he's shredded. I saw him last night because Marco had a misdial on the computer.
Yeah, I got that too, right in the middle of dinner. What's going on?
And obviously, it bothered him so much, he didn't even pick up, all right? So he just ignored it.
I knew what it was.
I ignored it too.
I knew
right,
exactly
and that's
what
the
it
thing
was.
To do. But when you ignore, you can't say, Peter, you can't say it bothered him.
No, I would have never thought of it again.
Dinner. Give me a break. But just listen, Marco, he wanted to call grandma, but unfortunately, he doesn't have a grasp of grandma's number. So he just hit the first thing that was up there on the FaceTime. I give him credit.
All right, we've got some big names that are going to be free agents as of 6 o'clock. When we come back, we'll tell you who they are. And there are some big ones.
Biggies.
Big ones. Who do you want, Mets and Yankee fans? It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and a Turtleneck 2 on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Michael K. Show.
All right, Jeff Passan is reporting Major League Baseball and the Players Association have reached a tentative agreement on a new labor deal, sources tell ESPN. While it still needs to be ratified by both parties, that is expected to be a formality. And when it is, baseball is back.
Our great national tragedy is over. Do you believe in miracles?
And most importantly, Peter, because I know you're worried about this, the first K-Rod will go off as scheduled on Sunday, April 10th.
That's what we care about. Now you're talking our language.
Wow. Sunday of the year. There we go.
The Michael K. Show.
This is it. We're going to have everything.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Well, yes, baseball has settled. The only thing left to do is for the owners to ratify, but the owners presented this offer, which was voted on by the players, and the players 26-4 in terms of teams voted to ratify. It was voted to not ratify 8-0 by the executive committee. Five of the eight players are represented by Scott Boras. Scott seems like he does not like the deal that's done. And that's my big concern. Baseball is back. It's a five-year deal, so we don't have to worry about this nonsense for another 5 years. But are the players going to be all in? Now, obviously, they'll be all in terms of playing. But in terms of, hey, can we mic you today? You know, to grow the sport, to make
no.
the sport. Are they going to be amenable to try different things? Are they going to be amenable to trying different rules that might change the game, but change it for the better? Or are they going to be angry and spiteful
no.
and say no?
Because they're not partners, number one. And also, they don't like each other, and they don't respect each other. And more importantly, they don't trust each other. So when you're trying to grow the game, and some things have happened, right? The shift will be gone next year. Universal DH, I think, is good for the sport. Eventually getting a pitch clock for pace of play. So there are some things that have happened already. But if you're looking for the players to do anything that might actually put more money in the pocket of the owners, they won't do it.
Which they should not think that way, because you would think that some of the money that goes into the pocket of the owners will eventually go to the players. Here are some of the free agents that will be free agents as soon as or be able to be bid on as soon as the owners ratify. The vote is at 6 o'clock tonight, according to Andy Martino of SNY. Carlos Correa, Freddie Freeman, Trevor Story, Clayton Kershaw, Chris Bryant, Nick Castellanos, Anthony Rizzo, Carlos Rodon, Kenley Jansen, Zach Greinke, and one that's a little peculiar because he quote-unquote retired yesterday, but was going to play in the Dominican. He's still a really good player, is Nelson Cruz.
Hmm.
And you would think that with 15 more teams needing a DH, Nelson Cruz might be able to make a lot of money. Let's see if he unretires. But those are just some of them. I've told you before that there are close to 300 players that are unsigned. And that's not just remember, the teams haven't been able to make trades. So now they're going to make trades, too. Will the Yankees go out and get a Matt Olson, which has been rumored? Will they get a starting pitcher? Will they get a shortstop? Would they sign Correa to a long-term deal despite the fact that, you know, the top prospects in the system are shortstops? Will they try and sign Trevor Story? Or will they not sign a shortstop like that and go for an Andrelton Simmons type or an Iglesias type? Those are all questions. Are the Mets going to go for a Freddie Freeman? They need to bolster their bullpen just a little bit. Fascinating stuff is going to happen tonight. I'm glad that we're on the air for the beginning of it.
Well, the bullpen is going to be a must. Now, Freeman looks a little gratuitous, right?
Right.
But still, with the DH in the National League to move Alonso there, now I don't know what you do with Dom Smith because he's not a great outfielder. When you're talking about a player like him, not only getting him, Michael, but stealing him from the defending World Series champions who are in your division, it's awful intriguing. And what is it? Just money.
It's money.
That not right now doesn't seem to be an issue for the Mets.
Amazing. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Eric in New York City. Eric.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
There.
I'm all right, thank you. Listen, I agree with you guys. I think the last caller was going a bit far, but, you know, this lockout isn't what's driving us fans away. I live and die with the Yankees personally, but it was knocking down my stadium. Then it was, you know, a lack of a championship, which itself are separate issues. But it's these small things that seem to accumulate, and it is hurting the sport. You know, concessions being ridiculously expensive. You know what didn't get mentioned? How about these businesses on River Avenue that depend on us fans?
They haven't lost a thing. The Yankees didn't lose a home series.
No, I'm not saying that they did. I'm saying if this thing had gone longer, what would have happened to them? My point being, we love these games, live for these games. I'm glad it's back. But these small things really aren't doing a whole lot to keep us invested, let alone grow the sport.
Well, Eric, I hear the angst in your voice, but I got to tell you, let me let you in on a little secret.
Oh, secret time.
If you go to ShopRite, ShopRite's not selling food because they want people to be fed. It's a business.
Right.
They're charging prices. The thing that makes this so distasteful for people, every single business has labor problems where they negotiate with the people that actually do the work. But it's done behind the cloak of anonymity. You don't care if Amazon and its workers are negotiating. This is all reported on every single second, every move, everything that goes wrong, and you feel it's an affront. I'm sorry. Well, nobody's playing this game for the, Michael, just simply for the love of it.
But here's the problem with the caller, and I forget what his name was.
I think it was Eric.
Eric. All right. If he called up and said, I'm kind of out on baseball. It's a little too slow for me now. It's not as exciting. 33% of everything's a walk, a home run, or an out, or strikeout. All right, then I hear you. But did you hear his two things? They tore down my stadium. Oh, like that doesn't happen in other sports? That doesn't happen with other teams? The oldest building in the NHL is Madison Square Garden. It's barely 50 years old. Moving into new stadiums, that's a thing every sport goes through. And the money quote, we haven't won a championship. Oh, my God, you haven't won since 2009. I don't know what to do with myself. So those are the two reasons he was out. So he could talk about him out on baseball. Why was he out of baseball? Because they tore down his stadium, and they haven't won since 2009. Sorry, I guess you weren't all that.
And also, I am very, very sympathetic to the people that were affected by all of this. And nobody was really affected except for the towns in Florida and Arizona that have spring training.
That's a good point.
That's it, okay? But you think that people that are trying to split up billions of dollars and players that are trying to split up millions of dollars, that they should settle so that Stan's bar underneath the L is going to be able to make money? I mean, really, you people, that's I guess it's a great part about baseball, but also the frustrating part. You make this out to be religion. Now, those that love it, it's like a religion to us, but it's a business, baby. I don't know how how that could be made any more clear.
And it's a business across the board for every sport, for every form of entertainment, for every movie that's made. It's all about the bottom line and how to make money out of it. That's the way that it is. Why does baseball have to be held to a higher standard than every other sport and every other business? Why? Because it's our national pastime, because it's been around for 150 years. Heck, Michael, 125 years ago, you know what the owners were trying to do? Make as much money as humanly possible.
And also, every other sport changes things. I mean, the NBA puts the three-point line in. Did it kill the game, though?
Probably. Hey.
The NFL, well, you know what? Kickoffs now come out to the 25 if you send it into the end zone. They just make changes. Cornerbacks can't touch wide receivers after 5 yards. They make really big changes, and their fan base doesn't go nuts.
No sport of the four major sports has made more changes over the last 25 years than the NFL. Hasn't affected it once.
Now, I just got a text.
Go ahead.
From Gio Urshela.
Okay. Text or tweet.
I'm familiar with
this
work.
No, this is a text.
Oh, I didn't know you and Gio were close like
that. That's what they call in the business, Peter, a name drop. But go ahead.
He goes, Mike, I feel like I'm a little boy, and I'm getting ready to play my first game of Little League. I'm so happy and excited. It's for my love of the game. That's how players feel.
That's nice.
How often do you talk to young Gio?
You know, don't worry about my relationships. Do I ask you about how often you talk to Kanye?
Well, I never talk to Kanye.
Jesus. But if you did, you'd let us know.
Absolutely.
The only person that doesn't name, the only person that we know that does not name drop is Andrew.
Right.
But
no, freak.
But I think we should spin this into something we can all enjoy and say hi to Gio because he's obviously watching or listening. Because
right.
I don't think he just out of nowhere decided, let me text Michael.
Hey, buddy.
That's a good point.
He's a good guy, by the way.
No,
he's
he is.
Really nice
he's a
person.
Very easy guy to root for. No question. He's a really good guy.
Brian and Danbury. Brian?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Hey, I got a few couple questions, and then I'm going to get into my point. Mike, I got a question for you. Did Adam Sandler find you for Grown Ups 2, or did you reach out to him for your role?
Oh, are you kidding?
He was on Center Stage, and I was shameless in saying that, you know, I have to be in one of his movies.
Yeah.
So it was. Wow. I brought it up, and a year later, he just called me out of the blue and offered me the role. Absolutely.
They call it in basketball a full court press.
Yeah, it was shameless. All these years later, Brian, I'm actually ashamed of myself.
Well, I'm not ashamed of you. I loved you in it. I spit out my drink when I saw you on screen. I thought you were great.
I thought they should have spun it off and have a Coach Romy series, but they didn't do that.
maybe he's listening. Maybe he's thinking it up and drawing it up right now. We don't know.
Well, if he's listening, stop
looking at me, Schwan.
Anyway. So I want to say that I'm really excited baseball's back. All offseason, offseason sucks to begin with. And then to not know anything about what the players are doing, how they're rehabbing, it's really great to have everything back. Am I angry at the league? Not really. I understand it's a business. I'm not going to try to start a boycott here. Do I think I won't be going to games for a little bit and I won't be buying, new jerseys? Maybe. But, I mean, people need to get over it and understand that this is it is a game. We all love it. But it is about making money. And, the players want more money and the billionaires want to keep their money. And that was really all I wanted to let
you guys
know.
Well, you know what? I could hear you thought this out, and that's rational. And for those that don't think that, the biggest businesses in the world with the richest people in the world, I mean, don't we hear all these stories about, these billionaires not paying taxes? Now, if they paid their fair share of taxes, right, would it break them? No. But people that are rich are trying to keep their money rather than give it away.
That's how they got rich.
So to just think, well, we're going to settle, because it's going to affect, stands under the L. It's fairy tale. It's unicorn land.
The first ever game played in Major League Baseball. The idea was spawned. The game was played for the purpose of making money. Nobody was thinking this is going to be great for the country. This is going to be great for our soul. All the fans are going to love this. We're going to give back to the community. They were thinking, hey, this is a great game. Let's see if we can make some money off of it. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's how this whole country has been built. Now, the corner market, Michael, are they there because they want to serve the community? Or are they there because they want to make money? Right. Yeah, they enjoy serving the community. I think they're happy to do it. But they bought that store for the purpose of making money.
And also, I mean, the paragon of what this is, the perfect world, are athletes doing it simply for the love, which is what the Olympics supposedly are. Little secret, they all get paid.
Hey, right. And Urshela just texted you, and I think that was pure and genuine. But he'd be nuts to do this for free.
Right, because somebody's making money off what he does well.
Because he has a skill. And that skill deserves to be paid, and we can negotiate how much it should be paid. But he shouldn't have to sacrifice money for the love of the game. He deserves every penny that he gets.
Let's go to Matt in Farmingville. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy baseball day.
What's up?
I'm just trying to bring some positivity. We got baseball. I hate the argument that people make too much money. It's a very jealous argument. I want to hear where you think either Correa or Matt Olson, and then I'll hang up. I'll listen, but real quick, baseball day and a Duke victory. Let's go.
Well, we were not happy here with the Duke victory because of what it did to Andrew.
Yeah, it hurt him.
And Buddy.
Will never play for Syracuse horrifying. Again.
Because don't look at the final score. What was it, 9 points, Andrew?
I've got Syracuse the score right here, 88-79.
Oh, no. Andrew, how bad was it?
In terms of gut-wrenching, as far as Syracuse went up 79-78 with about 3.5 to go.
That's a close came off at that point.
And then they ran out. They ran out of steam. They had nothing left.
I was in this building when it happened. Andrew never even reached for his belt.
No.
That's a you thing, Michael, and it's disturbing. So don't try to include Andrew. He never thought about disrobing. And he took the loss well, because I don't think he was expecting to win going in. He was disappointed. But we were paying our condolences, and he handled it very well.
Good for you, Andrew.
Now, luckily, though, for me, there were no condolences as Fordham beat George Mason, baby.
That's right, because you know what? When you beat George Mason, you mean business.
Well, they've won 54-49. They've never won an Atlantic 10 conference championship game. And now they will play Davidson tomorrow at 1 p.m., the top seed. But Fordham rolling, a .500 record on March 10th. Congratulations to Kyle Neptune.
Yeah, Kyle Neptune's already getting offers.
Yeah, that's what's scary. Ken Rosenthal just tweeted out, arbitration exchange dates. Players making salary requests will be March 25th. Hearings will take place during the season. Now, how about this, everybody? In arbitration, the team has to tell the player everything he does wrong.
Right.
You're going to be doing that now as he's playing for you.
I got to tell you, I don't want to name any names, but I've heard stories, not just in baseball, because hockey's got the same system, where players that you would think are the toughest human beings of all time, like, brought to tears during arbitration. There could be a chance, Michael, that after the arbitration hearing, they might not be able to play the next game because they're so devastated.
Remember Mike Pagliarulo with the Yankees?
Yeah.
Went to arbitration. And really, the team's trying to win. So they're going to tell you everything you don't do well rather than everything you do well. It's a terrible, terrible thing to have. Terrible. Makes the players money, which is great. But to have the owner that you're playing for, or the GM that you're playing for, point out everything you do poorly, it's a terrible setup. Pagliarulo got so angry he went over the table and grabbed somebody by the throat. Over the table.
Not what you want.
It's not what you want. And I think that might have been some kind of work stoppage season, and it was during the season, and he had to come play that night. Yeah.
And then the fraudulency of it is that you work it out, he comes back and plays for you, and all you do is praise how good he is.
Right. Oh, forget it. Never mind. Sean in Wappingers Falls. What's up, Sean?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hey, what's going on, Mike? Thanks for taking the call, guys.
Thank you.
I just want to say everything you guys are saying, 100% spot on. Peter, I never thought I'd say I agree with you on something, but that example you threw out about the money and the $50,000 and the $900,000, it's a business. It is what it is. If you're a fan of the game and you're saying you want to boycott the game, then you're not really a fan of the game.
You're looking for a way out.
Who just can't handle it. Yeah, exactly. You're looking for a way out. And you know, am I a little miffed that the season's starting a little late? Sure. But am I going to go to games? Yeah. Am I going to watch it on TV? Of course I am. I mean, you never do anything that you're good at for free. And that's the bottom line. Like, so it's something you guys have said I agree with. And I think anybody that just can't handle it just needs to take a walk then. And you weren't a fan of the game to begin with. Like, just.
Sean, I think, like, you hit on something. So. You were looking for a way out.
Yeah.
You're looking for a way out. So you're in a miserable relationship and you're waiting for your wife or your husband to do that one thing that was enough to tick you off and say, I'm out. So you didn't like the way the game's played. You don't like the strikeouts. You don't like the shifts.
And that's
you
all
don't
fair.
Like long, that, if you have a problem with that, I understand. The game needs to be fixed. But now you just needed that little push. There's no way that if you love baseball, the fact that the first week of the season has been pushed into the season, and the season starting on April 7th, there's no way that you could be ticked off and say, I'm not coming back, unless you had an initial problem.
Right, because, Michael, put everything, the aggravation of the last couple of weeks and all that, I think you're better off now than you were if there were no lockout. Again, starting March 31st, you know, now you start April 7th. I really don't see the issue. Unless you were somebody that was down on baseball to begin with, you were hoping that there was going to be a lockout that lasted the entire season so you can grandstand about how you want to get out. You want to get out? I get it. I understand it. Especially as you get older, you like to trim the tree. You want to try to get rid of some things in your life. Get rid of it. But don't make it seem like it was about these last couple of weeks. Come on.
But here's the issue.
What are you going to say, Peter?
Nothing.
All right, so Nets and the Sixers tonight.
I sure. Mean,
on
it
TV. It kind of takes a backseat to baseball settling, but it's I will be parked in front of the TV to see how they receive Ben Simmons. The game's on TNT, starts at 7:30. We'll talk to Stephen A. Smith about what he thinks is going to happen, and that's coming up in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael K. Show.
Stephen A. Smith, have the Knicks brought you back into the fold with these three wins in a row?
Hell no. I'm so disgusted with the Knicks. I would have much rather last year not happen and you showed incremental improvement than get to the playoffs last year and then nosedive the way you did this year. And for what reason exactly? This three-game winning streak means absolutely nothing to me. I don't care that they blew out Dallas by 30. All it does is remind me of who they are. They're typical New York Knicks right now. What you'll do is you'll lose the games that matter. And then when nobody cares because we've given up on you, now you're going to show up and win games when you ain't got a snowball's chance in hell or really making any noise and get to the postseason or, God forbid, you get there.
The Michael K. Show.
I would much rather see constant progression.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so we squeezed a little basketball in and a big baseball day. Baseball between the 3 and 4 o'clock hour, or during that 3 and 4 o'clock hour, the players ratified the last offer by the owners by 26-4 in terms of teams. The executive committee turned it down 8-0, but the players did not follow that, and they followed what they felt was right for them. And the four teams that voted against it, the Yankees, the Mets, the Cardinals, and the Astros. Three of those teams had players on the executive committee, the Astros, the Yankees, and the Mets. The Cardinals didn't. I'm curious to find out why they turned it down. But we are going to have baseball at 6 o'clock. According to Andy Martino, the owners are going to vote. Looks like they'll rubber stamp it since they actually did present this offer. So this should not be a problem. And at 6 o'clock, once it's ratified by the owners, then, you know, settle in and enjoy. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a free agent frenzy and a trading frenzy like baseball has never, ever had in its existence. It's going to be fun.
And we'll see how active the Yankees and Mets are going to be. Mets need some bullpen help. I'm not sure I'm in love with, you know, bringing Jansen here. I think his better days are behind him. But we'll see with that. Do they go all in on Freeman? Is that something that Cohen's going to want to do? And the Yankees, I always thought they were going to build through trades, Michael. But you need a shortstop, and two of the biggest shortstop in baseball are free agents.
Yep.
So I would probably go with Correa over Story, but the fan base may disagree because of their hatred for the former Astro. But what do the Yankees do? Because they need to fill spots. If the Mets don't do a thing, Michael, I think they're still okay because you could find relief pitching during the course of the season. Right. Yankees got to fill spots. They don't have a shortstop.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Mets need another outfielder. Yankees might need an outfielder as well. You can't really depend on Aaron Hicks, who hasn't been healthy the last couple of years. He says he's healthy now, but will they re-sign Brett Gardner? That's another question that we have, and I'm sure that will be a trigger point for a lot of Yankee fans who probably here's what Yankee fans don't understand. If you sign Brett Gardner and he's actually used the way he's supposed to be used, then he's a good addition to a team. But what's happened over the last couple of years, you sign Brett Gardner, and injuries have forced him to be an everyday player. And so you look at it and go, why are they still relying on Brett Gardner to be an everyday player? That's not the original plan. The original plan was to have him come off the bench, be a spark plug, give an outfielder a little bit of a break. That's the plan. But when Aaron Hicks goes down with the wrist injury, well, then it pushes him into a situation that he really shouldn't be in. But we'll see if they bring him back as well. Now, James Wagner of the New York Times actually got a hold of Gerrit Cole, the Yankee pitcher, and also a member of the executive committee and another client of Scott Boras. And this is what Garrett said. Everybody's excited to get back. I'm sure we're going to see a big flush of players coming in and being excited to get back. Being back on the field is exciting for owners, players, fans as well. I think that'll be the first step to maybe trying to mend some of the fences with some of the fans that have probably been upset with this process, and rightfully so. In terms of the shortened spring, we had to go through this in 2020, an abbreviated spring. There's a little bit of a different caveat with 162 games on the back end of that as opposed to 60. But in the same breath, there's some experience there before. And I think that will impact some wisdom or impart some wisdom on some players and some organizations about how they go about that. And it'll feel a little bit like a mad dash to the start line, but I anticipate players getting back right back to doing what we love to do and what we're used to doing sooner rather than later. And now, Garrett obviously voted against ratifying. You know, he's on the executive committee, but he sounds pretty positive there. James Wagner also broke down what this means procedurally and exactly what's going on with this negotiation. Opening day, now April 7th, the Yankees against the Red Sox at home. The Mets will open on the road. Spring training camps open this weekend. First spring training game is scheduled to be March 17th. Here we go. Here's some other things. Luxury tax threshold start at 230, end at 244. Pre-arbitration bonus pool, $50 million without annual increases. Players who finish first or second in Rookie of the Year voting get a full year of service time. Now the new fourth luxury tax threshold is $60 million over the base. So if the base is 230, the fourth threshold would make it 290. And the Mets are pretty close to that number right now. And I've always said, unfortunately, a lot of this was about the smaller market teams trying to rein in Steve Cohen. There's going to be a committee to decide all on-field rule changes with 45 days notice beginning in 23. So we'll have a shift this year. We're going to have the same size bases. We're going to have no pitch clock. 12-team playoffs, universal DH, six-spot draft lottery, which they hope will stop teams from tanking. Minimum salary starts at $700, ends at $780, and the players had a grievance that they were exercising about the 2020 pandemic season.
That's a lawsuit, right?
That's dropped now. That was okay. Part of the agreement that they would drop it. So the mandatory spring training report date is 3/13. Games made up with 9-inning doubleheaders or off days plus a series added to the end of the regular season, and the World Series will end as planned. So there we have it. And at 6 p.m., the owner should ratify, and then free agency starts right after that. And, Don, you've mentioned this before. If they sign players within minutes of that, then the whole idea that there was no connection whatsoever, there was no communication, I think it would go by it would be laughable. Because when you see in the NFL, it's a wink-wink. They know that they were talking before they were supposed to be talking. But this would really be against the rules because there was a lockout. Right. You're not supposed to be talking.
Now, I always bring that up because in the NHL and the NBA, you have the July 1st free agent period. And you see guys signing major contracts like 5 minutes after midnight. It's like, how can you do that in 5 minutes? So you know that there were conversations beforehand. The one thing that the baseball agents and the general managers can say is, well, we had laid a lot of the groundwork before the lockout. We just could not get the deal done in time.
Right, right. They could do that.
So they could say, we're just revisiting where we left off back in December, and that's why it was done as quickly. There's no way to prove it, right? I mean, and I'm sure all the general managers...
Well, there's ways to prove it. You can ask for phone records.
I understand, but I don't think anybody really is going to want to do that because everybody's taking advantage of the situation, right? You're going to see a bunch of teams sign right away.
Well, you know who would want to do it? Teams that, you know, followed the letter of the law, and then all of a sudden they're way back when they should have been like doing this as well.
If there is anybody that follows the letter of the law, so. But I do think it's believable the groundwork was done before the lockout. I think all these teams knew who they were trying to target, and there were probably some conversations before the lockout. And either I don't think the player would say this because I'm sure the players wanted to get something done before the lockout. But there might have been owners or general managers who are like, let's wait and see how this works out. But I'm sure there were conversations that they just ran out of road that they'll be able to pick up right at 6 o'clock.
In terms of the 12-team playoff format, the two top division winners get byes, and then they'll have two best of threes. And then the winners of the best of threes will play the teams with the byes. So the byes are worth a lot. That's why the players didn't want a 14-game, a 14-team playoff, because now – with those buys, you really want to win in your division.
Well, it's huge, right? Because that's less games you have to play. You can set your rotation up nicely for the postseason. A bye would be great. The only negative is sometimes when you play a sport every day, do you want to take that time off? Could that take you out of your rhythm? But still, I think every team would take the bye over not having the bye.
Let's take some phone calls. A lot of people are excited about this. Some people are still angry. I'm not quite sure why. You lost a week and you didn't lose the games. It's having a 162-game season. And, you know, if anybody's angry, it should be the cities in Florida and Arizona that lost spring training for as much as they did. But, you know, that you do add a week on. So teams won't break spring training until April 5th. So they'll be there a week that they weren't supposed to be. But other than that, really, who got affected by this? Let's go to Roger in the Bronx. Roger.
Hey, what's up, guys? Nice talking to you again.
You got it. What's up?
Hey, Michael, you are still the best home run caller. I don't care what anybody tells me.
Wow. Thank you.
All right. First of all, I'm not mad. Baseball's back. That's fun. I'm happy. I don't care. I was on the player side regardless. So people have got to stop with the, oh, I'm not going to watch it. Whatever. It's fine. I don't care. I'm going to get to the Yankees. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Michael, but I just don't trust my team. They've been letting me down since 2018, since they got rid of Girardi. It's been the same game plan year after year, the same thing. I don't trust them. I don't trust them to make moves. I know they have to. I know you believe they will. I just don't trust them. I really don't.
You don't trust them. So since 2018, they've signed Gerrit Cole.
I know. No, that part I'm grateful for.
Okay, so what do you mean you don't trust them?
I don't trust them to change the way they play.
Well, they're not going to change the way they play. And most teams play the same way. They're not going to. I'm sorry. If you're expecting them all of a sudden to not try to hit home runs and not strike out a lot, it's not going to happen.
I really believe that there's a lot of Yankee fans, and no offense to Yankee fans that are like this, because I think a lot of baseball fans are like, they watch their team and no one else. They think the Yankees are the outlier.
They're not.
No, they're not. They're doing it the way that everybody else is doing it. This is the new world. And if you don't like it, I get it. I don't like it either. But don't make it seem like this is a Yankee issue. This is a baseball issue. This is the way Major League Baseball believes the best way to go out there and win. Bat your home run hitter second. You know, no more small ball. That's not going to change.
Really, your problems. I don't want to do this again. Peter always tells me when we get into this. Your problem's not with the Yankees. It's with the way the game of baseball has evolved.
Hey, you know, we're getting baseball back, Michael, which is a good thing. But we're also getting back all the complaints before we went into the lockout. Yankees are cheap. Yankees are why do they play the game the way they're playing it? You know, haven't won a championship in over 10 years. Brian Cashman's got to go. Aaron Boone's got to go. Michael, 6 o'clock. We're looking at free agency. When we start the show tomorrow at 3 o'clock, if the Yankees hadn't done anything, that's our show. Whether we want it or not, we're going to get phone calls. I can't believe they haven't done anything. What's going on with this team?
That's how true. About this? This is really interesting. Jason Stark just tweeted this out. No more game 163 tiebreakers. All playoff spots will be determined through NFL-type tiebreaker formulas. Formulas. Wow. I don't know if I like that.
I don't know. Yeah. Listen, football has no choice.
Right. I guess baseball is going to hold firm because of these added playoffs.
I mean, but again,
it's still shooting themselves in the foot.
Come on. You're telling me that wouldn't get a great rating and great conversation if you had to have a play into the postseason?
Yeah, I'm stunned.
And I'm going to lose out on a playoff spot, what, because I scored less runs? Like, what is it going to be, run differential? What are the tiebreakers going to be?
That I don't know. NFL-type tiebreaker. And also, in a sport that does not have balanced schedules, it better not be records. Maybe it's records within divisions. I'm not sure, but wow.
Well, I guess they'll probably do it the way football does it, right? Head-to-head.
Head-to-head. And since it's 19 games, it's never going to be tied.
What is it, head-to-head? Then it's going to be it won't matter. There's no ties, right. And there's an odd number if you're tied with somebody in the division. But what if you're how many times you play outside your division? Because what if you're tied for the wild card?
Well, you play 19 games against each team in your division, so that's 19 times 4.
Yeah, but you play 6 with everybody else outside.
Yeah, well, that could change. Sometimes you play 7.
All right, but if it's somebody you play 6 and you're 3-3, then it would have to
then
be another
something stupid.
Yeah.
Layer of tiebreaker. In the NFL, it's usually like divisional record. You'd hate to see it be about like run differential or something like that. I mean, that
it would be. That's exactly what it would be.
It might be. No reseeding for the LDS. First seed plays winner of the 4 and 5 wild card series. Second seed plays 3 versus 6 winner. So you might have the second seed. Well, you are going to have the second seed play. If the 6 seed wins, they're going to play an easier team in terms of record than the first seed, which is going to have to play a 4 or 5 seed. So if the second seed has to play the 3, then that makes sense. You should have the harder game so they don't reseed. But if the 6 beats the 3, the second seed plays the 6, and the team with the best record plays the 4 or 5. That seems a little unfair, but they're not going to reseed.
That's odd. I guess, you got the bye, but still you're the 1 seed. You should play the worst team that's left.
Yeah.
It's the way it's done everywhere.
So a lot of this stuff is going to trickle out, and you know we'll give it to you as soon as we get it, but those are two very curious things
That's a lame one. That's a taking away the possibility of something that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, some of the greatest games in baseball history were the extra game, you know, the Dodgers and the Giants playing the best of 3,
that's what they had then.
And then in 1978, the Yankees and the Red Sox, which is a game that will be remembered forever, and you're taking that away.
Yeah. There's so many. You know, Hoffman blowing that lead for the Padres. You go, and I'm reading the Bobby Valentine book, and you know how great Al Leiter pitched in that Met Red game in Cincinnati. I understand all the extra games and everything, but how do you do that? That's a tough one, Michael. That is.
Let's go to Darlene in Georgia. Darlene?
Hey, Michael. I heard you say on the radio a few minutes ago that opening day for the Yankees at Yankee Stadium was going to be April 7th against Boston.
Yeah, we remember you from last week. Yeah, you're good to go, April 7th.
Okay, so you know that for sure.
Yes.
That's awesome. They have had me on such a roller coaster for the last 2 freaking weeks that I didn't know whether I was going to get to see the Yankees or not get to see the Yankees. Mm-hmm. And then when they announced yesterday that they had canceled the next two series, I went and bought Phantom of the Opera tickets for 2 o'clock on that Thursday. So now I got to cancel those tickets.
Oh, now you're messed
because
up.
Because I'm coming to see the Yankees.
See, you know what I love about you, Darlene? You don't want any downtime, right? You were going to do something that day. I love
it. Yes. And I'm flying out that night. So can't have any rain delays.
So it's in and out.
I had to fly out that night.
Wow.
In and out. Wow.
So, yeah.
Darlene, you're good to go. Opening day, as far as we can tell, and everybody's saying, is April 7th, Yankees against the Red Sox. Unfortunately for Met fans, the Mets will open at home. But if you held opening day tickets for the Mets' original opener, that will be tickets. Those will be the tickets that will be accepted when the Mets have their home opener.
All right.
All right. Let's go to Jess in Manhattan. Jess.
Hey, Michael, how are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So I have a bit of a contrarian take on the lockout situation. I actually studied. I majored in labor relations, actually, at the same school that Dan Halem and Rob Manfred went to. So I come at this from a
Cornell?
Little bit of a different angle. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I come at this from a bit of a different angle. When I look at what happened, what I see isn't like a painstaking negotiation. What I see is the only reason that we actually got to that point is because the Major League Baseball Players Association is one of the strongest unions in the world. I mean, the ability to actually bring the owners, bring billionaires down to their knees like that and to give those major concessions, I think is a hugely positive thing for Major League Baseball. And you know, compared to losing a week of games, you know, a five-year deal that players can actually get behind is far greater than a situation where...
Let me ask you a question, since you majored in this, okay?
Yeah.
Why did the executive committee vote 8-0 not to ratify? What were they upset about? This looks like a pretty good deal. What were they upset about?
I don't know. I mean, I understand why the Yankees and the Mets and the Astros would be against it, because obviously, you know, those teams have different divergent views because they're, you know, they have huge payrolls to begin with. And then there's the Scott Boris angle. But, I just think
that's the Boris angle. How many of the eight that voted it down, Michael, are Boris clients?
Well, five of the eight of the committee are
right
Boris
there.
Clients.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, that's so I think I you just see the influence that Scott had on this whole thing.
Right.
Or the lack of influence with all the other players he doesn't have as clients.
Exactly. And you know, to add to it, a lot of people saying, you know, billionaires versus millionaires, you know, that's bothersome to hear because, you know, we think about the Max Scherzers and the Gerrit Cole. But, you know, a lot of these guys, I think the average service time for a Major League Baseball player is something like 4 or 5 years, mm-hmm. which means these guys aren't even getting to free agency.
Right.
They're coming out of the minor leagues where a lot of these guys are paid below the federal poverty line. They come into Major League Baseball. They make the league minimum, which is a lot.
A quarter of the union apparently made the league minimum.
Right, right. If that's your earnings over the course of your life, I mean, you know, that's not a lot. So, you know, I think that when we look back at this, like I said before, I think people will see this as a hugely positive thing in the history of baseball because we avoided a situation where, you know, players, like you were saying before, were not going to want to cooperate at all. They were going to get ransacked by the owners. People who were maybe, you know, up and coming talents in Major League in baseball were going to say, do I really want to get involved in this sport? But now we have a situation where there's a deal for 5 years. The players are largely happy with it. I think that's a hugely positive thing. And losing a week of games for that, I mean, come on.
You didn't really lose the week. I mean, those games would be made up, so you're going to have a full 162-game season. Yeah, I think the players got a lot. I think the owners did okay. So the players got some of the stuff that, you know, they were fighting for and that they felt they lost in the previous CBAs. And we're good to go if the owners vote to ratify. Wouldn't that be a kick in the teeth if they decide not to vote to ratify it? Eight teams could derail the whole thing. Eight teams. By the way, if you want more baseball talk, yes, at 7 o'clock we have a very special Hot Stove show. Bob Lorenz, Jack Curry, David Cohn, Meredith Marakovitz, and me. We will be there, and we'll break it all down, what the Yankees might be looking for. We'll break down exactly what the basic agreement looks like. So that's at 7 o'clock on the YES Network following the simulcast. And If you've had enough of baseball, then the Rangers and St. Louis. It's an 8 p.m. start on
ESPN
Plus, but you can actually listen to it right here, 7:30 pregame, and 8 o'clock, the puck drops, and Donald Marco LaGreca will be doing the play-by-play. First time since leaving the hospital.
That's right.
Big. He's back.
And Brooklyn and Philly tonight, Nets and the Sixers.
That's a big
on
one.
TV.
The game might be a sidebar. How is Ben Simmons going to be treated? That's
well,
on
you
TNT.
You kind of know how.
I think it might be worse.
That's how bad.
Be louder than that. 7:30 is the start on that. Anyway, we'll come back to take phone calls on the Yankees. It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
There seems to be some confusion. Somebody on Twitter.
Oh, no.
They're seeing the way stories are written. So Bridget writes, are you sure the Yankees are opening April 7th? I'm hearing first four series are going to be made up. Well, that was from yesterday. So they canceled the second season, the second week of games, but that was just erased by the agreement today.
I see.
Uh-huh. So opening day is, in fact, April 7th, Bridget. It's April 7th. And I don't want to give short shrift, guys.
No, please don't.
To the Mets. So the Mets opener. Well, is now on the road.
Right, at Washington.
All right, so it's at Washington. At Washington. So their home their opener will be at Washington, and their new home opener is going to be April 15th against the Diamondbacks.
Hmm.
And then a three-game series against the Diamondbacks at Citi Field, and then a four-game set against Nancy LaGreca's San Francisco Giants.
Giants always come in early for some reason.
So the first games for the Mets will be four against the Nationals and then three against the Philadelphia Phillies in Philly.
Hmm.
So the first home game will be on Jackie Robinson Day, April 15th, which is great. You know, Mets National League team.
Yeah.
The Jackie Robinson Rotunda. Hopefully Rachel Robinson, who just turned 99, can be there for that game. So that adds a little bit more of a special sauce to the home opener, which is always great.
Yeah.
Now it's not just the home opener. All those players are going to be wearing number 42, the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier, and there we go. So the Yankees open April 7th at home against the Red Sox, and the Mets open April 7th on the road in D.C. against the Nats.
It's back, and you'll be on the road.
Yeah.
You'll be traveling. The Mets will be traveling. I saw Andrew Marchand tweet out both Yes and SNY will be on the road.
I guess Andrew's long national nightmare is over.
The
now.
National nightmare
and listen,
is over.
And here's the thing. I took exception to Andrew harping on that because it was almost like the drum that he felt like he needed to beat. But, you know, it's a nice to hear just because you want to try to get back to normal. And that's part of normal sports viewing is having your announcers be in the building for those road games. And listen, we did what we had to do from both a financial perspective and a safety perspective. And you want to try to get back to normal, and that's a huge step in the right direction.
Andrew also reporting right now. Boy, I'm going to tell you, this actually gave me goosebumps.
Okay. Literally?
Yes, it did. It really did. He tweets out, ESPN will have the new first rounds of the playoffs. ESPN has two broadcast teams set, Carl Ravitch, David Cohn, and Eduardo Perez, and Michael Kay and Alex Rodriguez.
Who, Kay?
That's right. So you'll be doing that during the playoff season too. Awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Did you know that, Peter?
I did not.
I told you that. I told you guys that.
I
was going to have one of the. I thought at the time it was going to be six playoff series, but I was told that as part of this agreement that I would be doing one of the, not a K-Rod broadcast, a regular broadcast. The first round, so I'm excited about it. Finally get to do a playoff game on TV, Don.
Hold on. Don, did you understand what he just meant?
No, this is completely
you're
news
calling
to
an
me.
You're doing a regular game, not a K-Rod broadcast, just the two of you doing a game?
Yes.
That was not
literally never said that, and it's maybe the most exciting part of the whole thing.
Andrew, Anthony, is this new to you, or did you hear this originally?
No, I saw the tweet, and I said, Andrew,
is there just going to be a K-Rod broadcast during the playoffs?
Exactly.
No, I told you guys. No,
everyone on the show didn't hear it.
No one here knew.
And I have, and we have two regular broadcasts during the season.
I didn't know that either.
Didn't know that either.
No one knew that. You are bad at sharing.
Here we go. Here's the exciting one. The only game played on July 21st, the Thursday after the All-Star break, the only game played, Giants at the Dodgers. Michael and Alex will be there calling a regular game.
Wow.
And then the other one is St. Louis at Atlanta on July 6th.
And Andrew just confirmed, first he's hearing it too. So,
you know, here's the deal. You guys don't listen.
Yeah, honestly, the entire show didn't listen.
You're going to have to take the L here.
Yeah,
you're going to have to.
Okay.
Just take the L.
Listen, okay? So Jared Bosnack, one of the executives at YES, in all capital letters just tweeted to me, "This is not news. You announced it originally on the air. Come on, you spoke about this."
No.
I listen more than the guys on the air with you.
No.
I'm telling you, you guys are wrong.
I think he knew.
His head's just more up your rectum. He's
one of my bosses. Why would it have to be there?
Because he knows other things about your schedule. You didn't say it on the show.
No.
I did say it on the show. You're lying.
Now, it's one thing for you to say I don't pay attention because I often don't. But me and Don and Andrew and Anthony, we all missed it.
Four people that are like floored right now, so happy for you, so excited for you, that we would have just missed that?
Andrew, I told you this. I'm sure I said it on the air, but I'm certain that I said it off the air to you guys.
No. No. Four people, Michael. Take the L.
You got to take it.
I'm not taking the L. Why would one person say they heard it and you guys
are
completely
oblivious?
Because I think
that one person knew anyway and just is misremembering how they found out the information. I'm telling you, four people not hearing it against one guy who, you know, I'm not going to say that his head's up your rectum the way Peter did.
Sorry. I was getting emotional.
Who probably knows your schedule intimately
anyway.
Well,
YES had to approve everything. Of course they know.
Right. So,
but I said it on the show.
No.
Go back and listen. You know what?
Now, maybe it didn't. Did you say it while I was in the hospital?
No. I kept all my best stuff off the air when you were in the hospital. I said it when the deal was announced.
You know what? There's only one way to do it. Tonight.
Andrew, go back and listen to everything.
No, why would four people, honestly, Peter, why would four people be absolutely excited for you when we hear this now that would have completely ignored it when you first announced it?
The only solution is to have Chris Carlin replay the entire show from when you announced it.
Hey, we could probably find that show. Let's go back to the day.
You
announced it. We could backtrack, find it. It's not like it's impossible.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
There's no missing 18 minutes here.
If he somehow mentioned it, Don, if he somehow did, he just like threw it in. There was definitely never a moment where you stopped and said, "Wow, can't believe I'm going to be calling a playoff game on TV finally." Like that did not
on TV.
And honestly, there's a lot, I think, of sexiness to the K-Rod cast. The fact that he's going to be doing playoff games on television might be the bigger deal.
I know. That's how I feel. That's why I feel so flabbergasted by all of this.
Shining Wizards Kevin just tweeted out, "Never said it on the air. It didn't happen. I've invested 4 hours every day to this program for the last 2 years religiously. Didn't happen."
So now what do you want to say?
Carmen DeSantis said, and no, Michael knows I hear every word, and this is news to me.
Yeah.
No.
Thank you. You never
Karen
said it.
Karen Veenstra goes, he absolutely has not shared any of this information to anyone. Perhaps just butter.
Now, hold on a second, too.
Thank you, Karen.
For the playoffs, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, wouldn't you think if somehow the Yankees end up in that situation?
I'll be doing the Yankees.
They're going to give you an A-Rod, the Yankees.
Yeah.
Which will be your first ever television Yankee playoff game. Wow. God, you know what, Don? He finally swung it around. And, man, he must have hit someone in the face with it. He's really, I mean, they're lining up to get
No, this is all, it's all happening. It's all happening and overwhelming, Michael, on Twitter. People had no idea. You never said that.
People don't listen to me. I'm sorry.
I can't believe you won't take the L.
All right, here we go. So, Rasan cameraman on and video producer on Hot 97, who actually just a couple of weeks ago had his third child.
Nice. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
He says,
"I'm trying to stop." By the way,
I told him
no need
too.
For four.
Hey, you have no idea. It's happened
none
so quickly.
Not your business.
Rasan weighs in and says, "Michael mentioned the regular season games. Don't think I heard playoffs." Also got a text message from LV who says, "Michael, I'm going to send you some stuff. Congrats."
Yeah.
New suits for you, Kaster.
No, that's good stuff. That is good stuff.
Some Varvatos for ESPN.
Somebody just sent me the Jim Mora GIF, Don. Playoffs?
Yeah. You really need to take the L.
But my friend and boss is saying that I did say it on the air.
One person who knows your schedule already anyway probably misremembered, as opposed to all four of the guys on the show. And we've must have gotten at least 25 tweets, at least I have, saying they never heard nothing of it, including people that you know listen constantly, like Karen and Carmen. Come on.
You're better than this.
Just take the L. Don't be that guy. Because when you don't take the L, you know what you're doing? You're taking two L's.
Well, let's put it this way. Maybe there was an embargo on the playoff information, but I definitely mentioned the two games that we were doing. Definitely mentioned that.
No.
Oh, okay. Anyway, let's take a brief timeout. Baseball's back. I'll be doing a playoff series, and the guys are excited about it, which means a lot to me. 1-800-919-3776. The owners are planning to ratify at about 6, and then it's going to be Armageddon. It's just going to be amazing.
By the way, you're really hyping this thing up. Like, I've never been this excited for any free agency.
Right.
So this better really deliver.
Now, Peter, I don't know if it's going to happen right at 6 o'clock, but it's going to be an amazing flush of signings that you've never seen before as a baseball fan.
I believe what was the word? Sublime? What was the word you used earlier?
I don't know.
No, I don't think he's ever said sublime.
He said it was going to be something he's certainly never heard of the group, Don. But I can't wait. Very excited now.
And you know what? If it is the Bacchanal he's talking about and the Yankees don't do anything, there will be people that will storm the building I'm in right now.
Well,
as if
why
they're going
would they storm that building?
Well, they don't know where we live.
Why would they storm us? We're not the ones not signing people.
All right, then they'll storm Yankee Stadium. I don't know. They'll get upset.
I think the Yankees will be involved. Let's just put it that way. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.